All right, I want to thank everyone for coming and thank you for the time to come and speak. And so this is research that I've done, thank you, with Dr. Shekel, who is my postdoc advisor. I'm an ORISE postdoc. In collaboration with Karen Bradham, who's done the in vitro work, and Dave Thomas, who's done in vivo work. This is truly a collaborative project we'll be reporting. So here's no surprise, right? Arsenic is toxic. It's been implicated in a variety of cancers. We want to limit the ingestion of arsenic because of its potential for being carcinogenic. But currently, some people assume that 100% of arsenic that contaminates soils is bioavailable. And while that may be closer to true for water, when you have arsenic in water, that may not quite be correct for soils. And so that's what we are attempting to tease out, is to try to make better estimates of bioavailability in soils. So to get arsenic into the body, you obviously have to have it desorbed from the mineral surface. And there is a lot of stuff going on that affects both sorption and desorption of arsenic from the soil surface. So obviously soil pH, the redox state, the speciation with arsenic 3, arsenite, being more mobile, generally considered more toxic than arsenate. Mineralogy plays a large part on bioavailability, bioaccessibility of arsenic in contaminated soils. So whether or not you have well-formed arsenic minerals, the iron and to a lesser extent aluminum oxides in the soil that may act as sinks, and the desorption of arsenic from the mineral surface, and also manganese minerals, which we know play a part. Maybe to a lesser extent, soil organic matter, and how does that affect bioavailability? And then when it comes to environmental concerns, as well as human concerns, is what ligands are present that are capable of desorbing arsenic from the soil surface, whereas you might have a plant that is does not see and take up readily arsenic. If you had a hyperaccumulator and then you have some sheep that come in and graze, those would be more susceptible. So a lot of different things you have to figure out and to understand what's going on with arsenic in the environment. What I'm concerned about, what we're talking about today, is arsenic in human health and the ways that we go about trying to determine what is bioavailable, right? What is actually taken up by the human body in soils. So the gold standard, of course, would be human studies. And despite my fervent attempts to get my collaborators to ingest large quantities of these soils, we weren't able to do that. There are several different models, the monkey, pigs, and mice, and they have their advantages and disadvantages, which I won't go into. But the model that we will be using and presenting is the mouse model. And cheaper model is in vitro studies. There's a variety of in vitro studies out there. They have their advantages and disadvantages. The in vitro method that we've been using is the SBRC, which is a two-phase extraction mimicking the gastric phage using pepsin. It in solution with your soil, it's extracted in a water bath, which you see here, is held constant in 37 degrees C. You pull that out, take your solution phase for arsenic that's been desorbed, and then intestinal extraction is the second phase using bile and pancreas. So the soils that we have, Nick gave a, Dr. Basta gave a very good talk, what we have had the advantage of is having a variety of soils and smelter slag to look at a comparison of in vivo and in vitro models. So we have a series of residential soils that would be impacted from residential deposition and pesticides. We have the smelter slag. We have some NIST standards that can be used for interlab comparisons. And then the soils that we have, they were brought into the lab and sieved to less than 250 micron fraction. And this is generally considered the fraction of soil that children and adults would ingest. The soil characterization data that I'm going to be presenting today is soil pH and EPA method 3051, which is a nitric acid digest of the soils. So this is a rather aggressive digestion. But nonetheless, this is what we'll be presenting. And then for total arsenic, was measured by instrumental neutron activation. For our bioavailable model, you have an example here. The mice, which were kept three to a chamber, will defecate, and they live on this screen, they defecate and urinate the food, which was a 1% soil mixture, which they were allowed to eat as much as they wanted, and that 1% mixture was palatable to them. They did not find it not tasty or too gritty. And then what we see is they're allowed to defecate and urinate, and the feces is collected here, and the urine is actually funneled into a separate, so that you're able to keep those two components separate. So from those, we get a measure of absolute bioavailability. So the soil and the arsenic is absorbed from the soil, passed through the digestive system, and is eliminated through the urine, which is the primary route of arsenic being released from the body, is then get a percentage over what's in the urine versus what was consumed for a measure of absolute bioavailability. Then we take a measure of relative bioavailability. So we have the arsenic in the soils, which was absolute bioavailability measurement compared to sodium arsenate in the feed. So just sodium arsenate for a measure of relative bioavailability. And then lastly, we have we'll be presenting the in vivo bioaccessibility data, which is our extractions data for arsenic over what was total contaminant level. We also have speciation work collected from the advanced photon source at beamline 10. We collected the data in fluorescence mode, and data was processed in Athena with LCF fitting for identification of the arsenic species in the soil samples relative to references that we have run. So here's the results. What I want you to take away from this slide is we have our NIST samples here. We have a total of six soil samples from residential areas, three slag materials, and what we have is a nice range of soils, residential slag, with different concentrations of arsenic, some really very high, some relatively low. Here is our Zane spectra. And what we see that in a majority of the soils were dominated by these arsenate peaks, with to a lesser extent the arsenite, sulfur, and oxygen bonds. And the results of our LCF fitting shown here that in the predominant number of residential soils, we had this arsenic sorbed arsenate species, arsenic 5. And this corresponds to a ferrihydrite sample, arsenic-sorbed ferrihydrite, which is the predominant species found in our residential soils. In our smelter slag, we get a greater combination of examples of realgar, arsenopyrite, and ascorbite was also present in a large number of our residential soils. So here's the data from our bioavailability, pointing out the number 4, 9, and 7 are smelter slags. This is arsenic consumed on the x-axis, arsenic in urine on the y-axis. Here's our NIST soil standards, and then the rest of our residential soils are clustered around the NIST soil standard for absolute bioavailability. And notice our sodium arsenate. Here's arsenic in the feces over arsenic in the urine, which we point out is the large concentration of those smelter soils. The arsenic is released in the urine in the residential soils, in the feces in the smelter soils, so they're passed through the digestive system without being absorbed. Here's the absolute bioavailability, and what I wanted to point out here is notice that in this diet, with arsenate. Not all the arsenic is absorbed, because our bioavailability arsenate is only 60%. So when we take that out to relative bioavailability for all of our sites, we get a cluster of our residential soils, NIST soils, and then our smelter soils. Again, relative bioavailability consumed is much lower. And here is our comparisons for in vitro to in vivo extractions. So how well did our in vivo extractions compare with our lab studies for predicting bioavailability? And you can see our R-squared value is very high, such that at least in terms of our lab extraction, the method that we used, we were very close and we were very predictive in bioavailability. Looking at soil characteristics as a predictor, our initial attempts at the multivariate analysis was not successful, but this the iron and aluminum that was extracted in the nitric acid digestion was significant as a predictor, and to a lesser extent, just in the in vivo studies, the percentage of arsenopyrite was also predictive. So what does it all mean, right? That's what everyone wants to know. So what's the implications of the research? These kids want to know, at least. What we saw is that relative bioavailability in soils was certainly much less than 100%. At least in our studies, in this wide range of soils and smelter slags, that this nitric acid digest was predictive using this combination of soils and in vitro extractions. And to a lesser extent, our arsenopyrite in the smelter slag proved to be less bioavailable and predictive of lower bioavailabilities. So what we feel is this combination of in vivo and in vitro extractions, along with characterization of soils data, does yield congruent estimates. And as Nick pointed out, now the real, as Dr. Basta pointed out, what is of concern is can we now take this data and extrapolate it into soils which would be having similar properties. We certainly can't go out and compare this to something we dredge up from the river, but we appear that in this case we may have the predictive abilities, and so our future studies will be going about looking at more soils data which we have collected and I need to chew through. And then lastly, I'm going to leave you with, almost lastly. Yes, so while protection of human health is important, again, we see much less than 100% bioavailability in our soils. So what I want to mention is this has a large impact when it comes to remediation. Even a small adjustment in bioavailability would have a large impact on remediation costs that comes with these polluted sites. So what I'm going to leave you with is some data that we just collected, which I'm excited about, which shows the speciation from arsenic in our soil, in our diet, and then in the feces, which shows we had some transformation of arsenic 5 to, and we see this DMA that is collected, and then an admission that actually we're presenting human data because I've been lacing my boss's coffee with some of these soils.
Thank you very much. We don't have